Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, which is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And I could tell you right off, I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Greg Pickle, and we are both advocates of drinking blue and light.
That's right, Jim.
Is that not right?
That's right, yes. Even maybe this early. I'm not sure yet.
Well, let's just say we downed a couple over the weekend. I'm sure each of us had done that. Welcome in. I'm sitting in for Dustin this week, and we've got a great show of Penn State football talk for you, and we're also going to sneak in a little bit of Penn State hoops talk. I got a feeling Jeff Brown is going to be excited after a couple wins for the Penn State basketball team.
Jeff's excited win, lose, or draw. I mean, there's a high level of excitement every time he comes on.
How do you think he's going to be, though, today with a win at Michigan State, a sold-out crowd at Bryce Jordan Center over the weekend? He's going to be uncontrollable.
I think you got that right on, Jim.
All right. Well, but the rest of the show today, we're going to take a look at our news and notes first. Then we're going to do a couple interesting things. I have some questions on the Penn State team for the fall. We're going to do a little bit of a quick series, a two-part series, one on today's show. We're going to look at the questions on the Penn State offense in 2020. Later on this week, we'll take a look at the defense. Today, we're also going to take a look back last week at the press conference that James Franklin and some of his new assistants had. There were some interesting things going on there that we shall talk about. And then, of course, in quarter number four, our buddy Jeff Brown is here to talk Penn State hoops. But let's start with the news. And, of course, it means another coaching change, Mr. Pickle. We had John Scott Jr. come in to take over the defensive line. He's filling very big shoes there. He comes to us from South Carolina. What's your initial reaction on this hire?
Yeah, you know, you look at what he's done in the past, and he clearly has a track record for developing guys. But I think the biggest takeaway here, and I don't want to undersell what he can do either on the recruiting trail or on the development side of things. So I think he's a very good coach, and James Franklin wouldn't have hired him if not. But the bigger takeaway to me here is that Brent Pry clearly had some say in who was going to be his new defensive line coach, and I just find that a little bit interesting. So, Scott Jr. coached with Pry at Georgia Southern, and then at Louisiana Lafayette, they crossed paths as well. And you just have to wonder if Pry's always kind of had this guy in mind, and if he ever needed to find a new defensive line coach to be on his defensive staff, that this guy wouldn't get a call pretty early on. So he was only at South Carolina for a year. We've seen this too, where, you know, when Penn State wants somebody, whether it's Joe Lorig, who was, you know, what, he was at Memphis for 6 days or something crazy like that. He left Memphis to go somewhere else, Oklahoma State, I believe it was, and he wasn't there long. At any rate, the point is, when they want somebody, they do not let the length of time that that person's been at another school stand in the way. Kirk Shiraka is a good example of that. Of course, he was with PJ Fleck for a long time and at Minnesota for a while. They went out and they got their guy, obviously not their first choice. We know that Elijah Robinson, the Texas A&M coach, Penn State, former Penn State player, was the top choice. But if you don't get your first guy, and you know, you don't want to strike out, John Scott Jr. is a pretty darn good get, especially at the late point Penn State had to make this hire.
And also, I understand the making note of the relationship with Brent Pry, but if you take a look at this in the same context of how we do things in the corporate world,
yeah,
don't you, if you have someone on your staff who can say, hey, this is a good hire, this is a good guy, I've worked with him before, is not that the kind of reference that you're looking for when you're making a hire?
Yes, absolutely. The one funny thing from his bio, I just was reading it again. I remember getting hung up on it on Saturday, and I just got hung up on it again. Is that, you know, it talks about the fact that he coaches for the Jets in 15 and 16. It notes that the Jets led the NFL in rushing touchdowns allowed, which of course means they had the fewest of them allowed, but it reads like they led the league in allowing rushing touchdowns. That tripped me up for the second time now in a few days. But no, this guy, you go back to even his time at Texas Tech, he had some all Big 12 selections there. He has had guys that went into the pros and were able to, you know, make a career for themselves. So a little bit of a different story than Taylor Stubblefield, in the sense that with Stubblefield, we really had to kind of look and try and find the things that pointed to who he developed and why it was successful. With John Scott Jr., you know, you put the tape on of his defensive lines, and even though South Carolina wasn't necessarily wonderful statistically last year, you know, there's some individual cases that certainly look good.
Well, the other first of all, I was tripped up on that same thing with that Jet stat. They needed to clarify that wording, make that a little more clear. The other part to the resume that stuck out to me is from South Carolina, and his recruiting territory had been the Carolinas and Georgia.
Right.
To me, that might end up being more significant than anything else.
Yep.
If he has the kind of recruiting credibility that another assistant coach has down in Florida, that's very significant, because Georgia especially, just a tremendous place for recruiting. Next on our news list, we didn't get a chance, or you didn't get a chance last week to talk about this, was Ricky Slade entering the portal. Now, that can't be a surprise to you.
No, it's just, the timing of it was the most interesting thing, not that he was going to do it. We've talked about it a lot here, Jim, that Ricky Slade seemed to be the odd man out, and the fact that he waited as long as he did was maybe more surprising than anything. I mean, I thought he would do it right before the spring semester started, right after the season ended, but, you know, maybe he wasn't sure at that point. Maybe he wanted to see how some of the staff stuff was going to shake out. Maybe he thought Kirk Sciarca would bring in with him a better chance to move up the depth chart, and maybe just doesn't feel that's the case and wants to look elsewhere. It is just startling, really, and I don't think you and I have got to talk about Justin Short of the Florida either, but you know, the two of the three five-stars in that 2018 recruiting class now moving on, and we assume Slade's going to end up somewhere else. There is precedent for a guy to go into the portal at Penn State and come back out of it, but it's very rare. It doesn't happen often, and I think he realizes that even if he loves everything about Penn State and his experience there, it's got to be easier to get on the field somewhere else. James Madison's a place that comes to mind. He could end up Virginia Tech, possibly. I mean, I
Old Dominion.
Well, yeah. Well, it's the thing. I mean, does he feel like Ricky Ronnie really could get him in the right place? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I would expect to end up somewhere closer to home. Not a huge surprise, but you know, again, something we expected, and it's just the way it's going to go when you have that many talented running backs in that room.
Do you think, especially with the timing that you referenced, was there a conversation? Not necessarily, hey, Ricky, we want you out of here, but could it have been, hey, Ricky, just so you know, going into this, you're number four in the pecking order.
Right, and there probably was. I mean, I would think that, again, all those guys, you know, so let's just say, for example, that, you know, you can assume that Journey Brown and Noah Cain, so at best case scenario, he was probably the third guy in that room going into spring practice. At worst, he was, of course, the fourth. But if one of those freshmen came in and really impressed, and Keziah Holmes will get the chance to in spring practice, Kevon Lee won't until the summer camp, but, you know, you could find yourself pretty far down the depth chart in a hurry, and what way out is there at that point? I mean, what chances do you have to get on the field if you fall that far? So, you know, it's obviously you never want to lose guys, but if there's one position that you can lose them at, running back, certainly it.
And the reason for the conversation is there's still the numbers game going on at Penn State.
Correct.
They have to get down to 85 scholarships, and where are they now, 89?
Right.
So there still has to be some more attrition for this
88
team.
88 or 89, but yeah, right.
Either way, there's still more that needs to go on. All right, next item on our agenda, Michigan State, in a couple different ways. Let's first start about D'Antonio leaving, and you talking about timing. He ended up resigning just, what, a day or two before the February signing period.
Correct.
So that can't be great timing for Michigan State.
No. And I don't know what they do at this point. There's just something that came in about Luke Fickell. It looks like he's turned them down. Yeah. So he's decided to remain at Cincinnati, according to Yahoo. So I don't know what they do at this point. I mean, there's some people out there, some theories that suggest that D'Antonio only waited as long as he did, not so much because of the $4.3 million retention bonus, but that he wanted to put Michigan State in such a spot where the only thing it could do was make Mike Tressel, Jim Tressel's son, the head coach. He's already been given the interim tag. And Jim, if they're already struck out on Luke Fickell, but there doesn't really seem to be a clear plan B or plan C. Pat Narduzzi, I mean, if we love him or hate him, he had that great thing on Twitter that basically was like, yeah, I'm not leaving Pittsburgh. And not really the point of the conversation, but can you easily make the argument that Pittsburgh's a better job than Michigan State right now? I kind of think you can.
I think you can, because you've got to look at it. And even with, you know, Luke Fickell, who probably in another year, if he has another good year at Cincinnati, might have a better pick of a Power 5 conference school.
Right.
Michigan State is going through some other turmoil where I don't think they're shedding any tears that he's right. leaving.
Correct.
And he may have even been nudged out the door a bit. And no matter what, if you're Michigan State, you're playing in the same division with Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. That's a tough place to try to succeed. And they're at best fourth in the pecking order in their own division.
Right. Yeah. So it's not a good place to be right now. And if you're Pat Narduzzi at Pittsburgh, for example, you can get to the ACC title game. Now you're probably going to get steamrolled by Clemson every year, but you know, that almost makes Pittsburgh similar to Wisconsin in a way. And you know, that to me, I just, at this time of year, you've already missed out on a recruiting cycle. You know, clearly there's some other things going on there off the field that could be problematic down the road. You don't really know how much talent's on that roster, but you know, the other thing, D'Antoni's been there for so long, and so have some of those coaches, that they have done it by just developing players. But if you can't develop and you don't like the talent on that roster, you're going to be in trouble for a few years.
And very quickly. And the other problem, if you're Michigan State, if you're hiring from within, one of your issues has been that, I'll call it, outdated offense.
Yeah.
What are you going to get when you bring in someone from the staff? Speaking of Michigan State and news that, especially if Fickell turns it down, we had some other interesting news. People tracking planes said the Michigan State plane was going to end up in State College.
Yes.
And
I don't believe it ever did, though, if I'm not mistaken.
It turned around, and I think the conclusion was, oh, this must mean that they've got Fickell, with the idea being that perhaps plan B was showing up in State College and courting Brent Pry.
Right.
So now with news that Fickell's not taking the job, is it possible that they may revisit that?
It's a good question. We'll definitely be keeping our eye on the sky, that's for sure.
And the coaching carousel could keep turning and turning. All right, that's it for quarter number one of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stick around for quarter number two.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.